Right. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Getting closer to the Beatitudes, but we're not quite there yet. We will likely begin the Beatitudes in two Wednesday nights from now. Unless that's the Wednesday night that we are going to be gone to Boston. I can't remember exactly how that falls. But, you know, Andrew and Hannah are graduating from Boston Baptist here in the next few weeks, and so we're excited to be able to go up and watch them walk the stage. They are Faneuil Hall is a really historic building downtown Boston that they're going to get to. They're going to get to do their graduation ceremonies there, and so it's really great to be downtown Boston because you're really close to one of the greatest pizza joints I've ever been in my whole life. I'm telling you, it's just a blessing. And then there's this pastry shop right around the corner. Boston cream pie. Boston cream pie because you're in Boston, right? But anyway, so sorry about that, Orville, and the strength category. Strength to withstand, right? That kind of stuff. That's right. Well, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. As we read these together, listen to what the word says. Behold, Moses says, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. Just about the entire time that I was living at home, I remember my mom would fix our plates at supper time, and she would set them in front of us to eat. We didn't have the traditional beaver cleaver household necessarily, where all of the food was sitting on the table and we passed it around. In fact, the first time that happened, I thought I was in the wrong place. I mean, that just doesn't seem to happen. Maybe on formal occasions. It was just the way that my mom did things. I think she knew that she cooked just enough, right? So just before supper, my brother and I would set the table and we'd get the tea ready. My dad likes a full glass of ice, and my mom made fresh iced tea, unsweet always, just before supper time, and we'd drink almost the whole, you know, half gallon or so, you know, in a couple of days or whatever. But anyway, that was just what we always did. Then we would all sit down and eat. And in all those years, I cannot remember ever really complaining about what we were eating. Now, there might have been the off chance that I said, man, really, beans again? There might have been the off chance that mom would have been boiling or frying squash. Oh, I'm telling you. I know you guys love that, but some reason I never acquired the taste. And it's just one of those beans and squash, and for that matter, I'll just go ahead and make you really mad. Fried okra also just stinks to high heaven when it's cooking. I know. You're questioning my Texan-ness right now, but anyway, it's just something. I would say this. You guys, I haven't shared this with you yet, but tonight's the night. I have a extremely sensitive nose. I mean, smells are, I like, if somebody wears a certain cologne and they walk in there, I know who it is. I mean, it's just that sort of thing. I've always been that way, and that may be the reason why that I really don't like those dishes, because they just don't smell very well to me when they're cooking, all right? To me. You guys have all the okra and squash you like. That's just fine. I'm not ever going to hold that against you. Just don't hold it against me that I don't like it. All those years, I can't ever remember looking at my mom and snarling at her and going, really, you know, this is just awful food. My mom, where she might not have always had the finest of beef or chicken or all the different things, or her recipes were kind of the ones that you know, we kind of had over and over again, where she lacked in maybe the variety, she made up for it at the fact that she still to this day makes the best gravy I've ever had. And so if the meal was awful, we always had a loaf of bread on the table and we could put some gravy on bread and finish up the meal, man. Now are you with me? All right, good, good. And I do like gravy. So what'd you say, Mike? What'd you say? Okay, now I'm back to, good, good. So I went off into the foreign land there for a minute, but I came back. So again, it was just understood though, when that plate was set before you or me or my brother, that we were going to eat everything on our plate. Wasn't that kind of the way most of us grew up? Not all of us, because Kim and I have had this conversation before. I still have a hard time, if it's on my plate, I have a hard time not eating it to this day. Even if I didn't like it, I'd just go ahead and eat it. So anyway, I can't ever remember, like I said before, ever having any leftovers. Now I'll share one more thing with you since you're already mad at me. I don't like leftovers. I know, it's a crazy thing. Thanks, Brother Eugene, I appreciate that. You know, for me, if I had it once, like why would I want it again the next day kind of thing? You know, I already ate that once. Now there are a few things. Like, we had leftovers for supper tonight, which I ate beforehand. That's probably why I'm a little more feisty. But we had Kim fixed big thing of shepherd's pie on Sunday. And so that is really good because it gets better and better all the time. You know, all the good stuff leaching into the mashed potatoes. That's just, man, that's yummy right there. And you know, red beans get better, two or three days after. I mean, that sort of thing is okay, but... Man, if I had lasagna last night, why do I want it the next day for lunch? No, it doesn't. I already had lasagna yesterday. So you see what I'm saying? But in my house, maybe that had a lot to do with it, that there was never any leftovers. My brother, my dad, and I, and my mom, I mean, we ate it all. There wasn't anything left, and that's just the way it was my whole life. Now, the same thing was kind of true when we went to my grandparents' house, when I was growing up, was quite often. The cool thing about going to my grandparents' house is they didn't always eat the same things we did. There were just a little bit different take on things. Now, my grandmother couldn't fix gravy like my mom could, but she could certainly fry up just about anything as good in those cast iron skillets as anybody ever. And then, if my granddad got a whim, he would go out and literally build a fire in this fire pit of a big trash can that he had homemade out there and barbecue chicken. Oh baby. It was like heaven on a plate. And I remember one day when I was about 10, 11 years old, something like that, I ate a whole barbecued chicken by myself. No, it was a big chicken. I mean, it was the whole thing. Again, whatever was set before me, I ate, with the exception of one time. I was going to go eat Sunday lunch with my grandparents, and my grandmother told me, since I was a huge Pie Pie fan when I was a kid, she said, well, we're going to have spinach for lunch, and I was super excited about this, because Pie Pie, man, if you eat spinach, you get the girl. Listen, that's what I got out of Popeye my whole life. You're big, strong, and you get the girl. And I will confess to you right now that olive oil was my girlfriend, okay? Say what you will. I look back on it now and I go, what in the world? But anyway, tastes do change. Maybe I should try okra again. But anyway, so spinach gets passed around the table. And have I shared with you that I have a very sensitive nose? Yeah, I'm looking at this spinach and I'm going, I'm never going to have a girlfriend. You can eat that right over there. Because I could not, that was the one thing that was set before me that I could not do at my grandparents' house. And if you like, now listen, I like fresh spinach on a salad and all that kind of stuff. But boy, that kind of stuff, I don't know what in the world. As I look back on this, and I know this is kind of getting us kind of started with a little bit of humor, but... As I look back, I believe I was learning a really valuable lesson. The food that was set before me was prepared by hands that loved me very much. For me to cast it aside or turn my nose to it would have certainly been devastating. I'll fast forward into our house. One time, Andrew looked at Kim after she had fixed something that he didn't like and said, "Ooh." One time. And you want to talk about somebody's head spinning around. I mean, that was it. And from that point on, Andrew learned his lesson. Never one time did he complain again about what was set before him. So that's the opposite of what I kind of experienced in my life. And you know, when I think about the things that they set before me, I shudder to think about treating my parents or my grandparents in a way that would have said, "I don't think I like your cooking," or "I don't think I like what you're setting before me." And yet, when the Lord our God, who loves us so much that He gave His only Son to die for us, sets down something before us, don't we have the tendency to act in such a heinous manner? The Bible tells us right there in verse number 26 again, "Behold, I set before you." I am setting this down before you. It's as if God is setting the table in front of us. And for us to turn our noses up at anything that God would set down in front of us, imagine how that makes Him feel. Imagine why He doesn't just go, "Well, done with you." But He doesn't. That's a miracle in and of itself. But when God sets something down before us, I am certain that He is expecting us to accept what He has set down before us. Because He has done this in His great grace and mercy anyway. Just like Mom and my Nene and my granddad, when he cooked, my dad never cooked, by the way, but anyway, but when they did something, it was out of love, man. That's what made it so great. And then we got to sit around the table and enjoy it together. That was pre-cell phone days. You know, that was pre-distraction days. I will have to say that for a short amount of time in my life, that Bowling for Dollars was on TV when we were eating. Y'all remember Bowling for Dollars way back in the day? Well, anyway, but when we were sitting down, we were experiencing and helping and talking and visiting and having family time together with the things that were set before us. So when God moves, provokes, and convicts our heart to do something, and we snub Him, what might we be doing? Do you think we're stepping over the line? You think we're sinning? Sure we are. We are rejecting what God has set before us. And how does He describe what He's setting before us here in Deuteronomy? He's describing it as, "I am setting before you a blessing." I'm setting it right there before you, a blessing. I believe we need to see that God has His table set for us. And we need to accept what He sets down in front of us. And not snub our nose at it cast it aside, and go forward doing things our own way. Would you agree with that? But how many times do we just turn a deaf ear to God or don't ever spend enough time with God to know what He might be setting in front of us to even know if it's good, bad, or otherwise? So it's time, I believe, for us to pull up a chair and eat what He has laid out before us. In doing so, I believe we're going to find a real blessing. So what is set before us? That's the first part of your handout and where we get started going through our message tonight. What is set before us? Well, verses 27 and 28 highlight it, right? A blessing and a curse. So, door number one is a blessing. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. So blessing comes through what? Obedience to the Lord. Choice number two, or door number two, is the curse. And he says, if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other gods, which you have not known. Okay, that verse is very clear that when we decide against obedience, we are turning around in a different direction. Rather than moving toward the Lord, we are moving away from the Lord. And I find the wording very interesting in that verse, because you know as well as I do, we are extremely capable of falling down before gods that we haven't even met yet as humans. Right? And the Jews certainly had not been influenced quite yet by all that they would be influenced by once they got into the promised land. But ultimately, we know that was the downfall of Israel. They committed sacrilege. They went against God and started serving other gods, Baal and all of these other, Ashtaroth, all of the different kinds of gods that they had, that they were introduced to later. Well, look, if we are turning toward the Lord and we are feasting on the blessings, everything that God is setting in front of us is acceptable and we are enjoying it, and then all of a sudden one day we go, you know what, I wonder what's on the other side. And we turn around and we start going over here. You know what we're going to find? We're going to find other gods, because that's the way God made us. We are made to serve God, our Creator. So when we decide not to serve God, our Creator, we are going to make other things, people, jobs, money, anything, our gods. You see what I'm saying? And so, in essence, we're turning away from God, and we say, we're going to set our own table. We're going to put things on our table that we think will make us happy, content, joyful. It'll feel better. It'll look better. All of these things. Rather than being satisfied, contented with the blessings that are set before us by the Lord. So we choose blessing through obedience or cursing through turning away from God. So the last part here is cursing means to condemn, and God condemns disobedience. Cursing comes through not obeying and turning aside from the Lord's will, the Lord's word, and the Lord's ways. And let me just share this with you real quick as we kind of dig in just a little bit further, put the tentacles out. Not knowing the Lord's word, will, and ways is no excuse. It's no excuse. That's why I continue to encourage you to be men and women of the word. Because one day, we will stand before the Lord. And we are going to be expected to know His Word. Because we are going to find in His Word our leadership, our guidance, our light for this world. So, choice number one, blessing. Choice number two, cursing. That's what is set before us. So we have to ask ourselves, what are we seeking? What are we seeking? And this is where it becomes quite personal. And we need to take some inventory. Based on the actions of our lives, what are we seeking right now? Who are we seeking to please right now? What are we seeking? All of us would agree that we desire the blessings, right? That's why you're here, I believe, because this Pathways to Blessing series has struck a chord. We would like to choose the blessing, correct? Door number one is still everybody's choice, right? We want the blessings. Well, look over at Deuteronomy 11, verse 14. Actually, let's just go ahead and read verse 13. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day. You know what the word hearken means, right? Obey. Hear them and obey them. If you'll hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that, what will happen? I will give you rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. That sounds like a blessing to me. Farm life is awful. Because you're always depending on something, the elements. But God is saying right here, guess who's in charge of the elements? He's saying, if you will choose to obey me, I will miraculously cause it to rain at the right time, to be dry at the right time, to be warm at the right time, to be cold at the right time. Everything will work out in your favor. God is in control of the weather, is he not? Jesus proved that in the midst of the storm, going to the bow of the ship and calming the sea, right? So if he's in charge of the sea, he can be in charge of when it rains, when it doesn't rain, when it rains again just in time for everything to blossom nicely, and the fruitfulness of the land to show itself. All of us would agree that we desire the blessings. We want the early, the latter rain. We need that. But the question becomes, are we really hearkening diligently? That's the question, isn't it? Verse 13, and it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently. If you'll do that, then I will do what verse 14 says. Verse 15, continue to read. Says, I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle that thou mayest eat and be full. That sounds good. I like a good steak dinner. I like a good healthy steak off of my good healthy cow. Take heed to yourselves, verse 16 says, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Don't turn away from the table that is set before us that God has. No need to go over here. God is setting before us exactly what we need. Do not be distracted. Okay? What happens? Verse 17, the Lord's wrath would be kindled against you. And he shut up the heaven that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, lest you perish quickly off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Boy, too many of us are just dying. There is the phrase, dying on the vine. And too many of us, because we know better and should be accepting the plate that God has in front of us, the plate of blessing, are trying to fill it up on our own, and we're dying because of it. And here's the sad part. I'm not sure we realize it. Because we have removed ourselves so far from the Word of God. We can't hearken diligently because we don't know what we're hearkening to anymore. The Word of God has been so far removed from our lives that we don't even know what or how to hearken anymore. Here's a basic Bible truth. We cannot say that we love the Lord if we're doing things our own way. We cannot. So I want you to turn with me to Matthew 6:33. And I want you to see from God's Word what He has to say in a very simple form. Just as I believe Deuteronomy is pretty simple to understand, so is this. What are we seeking? We are told in Matthew 6:33 to do this. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, which He's just been talking about in previous verses. Basically, let's just put it like this. These things mean the things that God knows we need, the things that God is going to set before us. He's going to fill our plate in front of us with these things shall be added unto you. Here's the way I like to say it. God knows exactly what we need and has promised to provide us of our needs. Correct? He has promised to provide our needs for us. And He loves us enough to spoil us a little bit. Sometimes He gives us what we want. Every now and then, my mom would surprise us and fix dessert. It didn't happen very often. I don't know why. It just didn't. We had a full meal, and if we wanted dessert, we just drank another glass of tea. That is about it for us. But every so often, Mom would fix my favorite cake. Yellow cake with milk chocolate icing. And she'd thicken up the icing real thick. Heavy on the icing for me, thank you very much. And every now and then, she'd just like surprise us and whip out a piece of cake after supper. Woo, son, we were living. That's some good stuff right there. So every now and then, God says, look, you are enjoying what I'm setting before you so much. I'm taking care of you. Every now and then, you are my son, you are my daughter. I want to spoil you just a little bit. But then we start thinking about getting spoiled, and we think about, well, I'd kind of like to have a little bit more of that. And you know how it goes. Then we start acting like we're spoiled. And then we turn away from God because all of a sudden all we want is the cake. We want our own way. But the Bible says we are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then all these things will be added unto you. So when we seek, the next line on your outline there, when we seek the kingdom of God first, we are seeking what God wants, and we are loving Him through what He has set before us. When we seek the kingdom of God first, we are seeking what God wants, and we are loving Him through what He sets before us. Now, does God always set before us ribeye steaks, baked potatoes, butter, sour cream, cheese, chives, bacon bits? You know what I really have become to like here recently? I really like grilled asparagus. And I like it really charred on that floury end where it's good and crispy, crunchy. Man, Kim has figured out how to do that. And I'm telling you right now, I'm like, asparagus? I thought that was like a curse or something, but that's really good stuff. And it goes really good with a steak, and I'm just like, oh, sometimes God really likes to just give us. But every now and then we get up and we get to the morning breakfast table, and we're like, wonder where the biscuits and gravy are today. Today we got a bran muffin. You know why? Because that's what you need today. That's what you need today. And God says, I'm not going to spoil you all the time. I'm going to give you exactly what you need. You just need to keep depending on me, trusting in me, that I'm going to set before you every single day exactly what you need. And we need to continue to seek first the kingdom of God. Not seek second, not seek third, not seek... Most of us are way down the line somewhere. We need to seek first the kingdom of God. So, to go down the pathway to blessing, let me just encourage you in a couple of ways. The next point is, first of all, guys, just give it a try. Just give it a try. Make a commitment to God. Just say, God, you know what? I have been doing things my own way. Guess what I'm going to do? I am going to repent and go the other direction, back to the place set for me. I don't want to do that anymore. So let's make a commitment. That's where we just give it a try. Be obedient by getting in God's Word daily, by talking to God and listening to what He says back. Right? That's what prayer is, a conversation. I'm just spitballing here. I left you four blank lines there of ways that you can personally be obedient. Things that you know that the Lord has been talking to you about, or you are feeling or sensing, or in the next few days you think of this over and you go, well, you know what? I haven't been very obedient in these certain areas. I'm not very satisfied with what God is setting before me. I have been doing things my own way. So let's get back to being obedient. Few things that I just thought of. Got to get in God's Word daily. We need to hearken diligently. That's what Deuteronomy says. And we don't know what we're hearkening to unless we know God's Word. We need to, again, talk to God and listen to what He says back. I would say this, and this is preaching to the choir tonight, I understand. But let's get 100% faithful in church as much as we can. I think we also need to start giving to the church. Not, I'm just talking about money. I'm talking about time, talents, and of course, our money. But give of your time, give of your talents. You have been uniquely gifted to do a very special work of edification within the body of Jesus Christ. Give it to the Lord. Do it. Make a commitment. What's the worst that could happen? You're already miserable. You know? Give it a try is all I'm saying. And then learn to trust no matter what. Now listen to that very closely. Learn to trust the Lord no matter what He sets before us. God is faithful. You must know that. I must know that. We must always remember that. That God is faithful. And He will always keep His promises. Always. So let's learn to trust Him no matter what He sets before us. Because whatever He sets before us is, according to Romans 8:28, working together for our good. Right? Is that the Bible? It is. He is, then, according to Philippians 1:6, doing a good work in you and in me. Do we realize that? So what's set before us? Door number one, blessing. Door number two, cursing, condemnation. Which pathway do you want to go on? What areas of your life do you know right now you are not being obedient in? Can I just say this? Do you realize right now you're robbing yourself of a blessing from God? I think we need to just determine. Which do I desire more? My way or God's way? What do I want more? We know God is faithful. We know we can trust Him. By the way, I don't always know that I can trust myself. You know that? Oh, I'm weak. I'm so weak. I can't trust myself. Man, if I'm set before a plate of fried chicken, you got it. I could still eat a whole chicken right now and already had supper. It's because it's fried chicken, man. I knew I was called to the ministry when I didn't want to work anymore and I couldn't get enough fried chicken. That'll sink in later. Most of you already shut off because you know it's 8 o'clock. Man, I can't trust myself, but I can trust God. And I can trust that what He sets before me is the best thing He has for me. And we need to know this. Everything God sets before us is for our benefit. The table He has set before us is to be accepted obediently and thankfully. Boy, that's a whole other side of this story, being thankful. He loves us more than we could ever possibly know. And He knows what's best for us. He desires to bless us and is blessing us by placing before us what He knows is best. I hope we're going to choose blessing and not cursing. Give it a try.